Welcome to Gaudete Sunday, as the third Sunday in Advent is also known. In places where the wreath has one, it is the Sunday where the pink candle is lit, as we have done. In some high church establishments, the clergy wear pink vestments also. I'm sure dear Father Derek would have found something appropriate in his extensive wardrobe. Bless him. Rose, not pink, sorry. He would have corrected me, I'm sure. However, why the change of colour in the middle of Advent? In the early church, Advent was a season of fasting and penitence. Gaudete Sunday was time off, if you like, time to rejoice in the nearness of Christ's birth as Christmas came closer. The sombre tone of Advent gave way to a focus on the joy of the promised Messiah and the nearness of his coming. Gaudete comes from the Latin word for rejoice. Bible readings for this Sunday often reflected this emotion, something maintained in the lectionary readings today. For the reading set from Zephaniah is a call to Israel to sing, be glad and rejoice, and is about the gathering of those who have been scattered. Psalm 146 calls on the writer's soul to praise the Lord, and the reading from Philippians exhorts its readers to rejoice the Lord always, not to be anxious, and to present our request to God with thanksgiving. The reading from St. Luke is perhaps less obviously joyful. It features the interaction between John the Baptist and the crowds who flocked out into the wilderness to see him. The third candle on the Advent wreath, in addition to being the Gaudete candle, is also the candle of John the Baptist. The candles give us an alternative way of marking the approach of Christmas. But what takes us 4 weeks is actually covering thousands of years of human history. For the first candle represents the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and such like. The second candle lit last week was for the prophets as a group. Today we draw closer to Christmas, and it is John's turn. Next week, Mary, and then we are close to Jesus indeed, ready for the Christ candle to be lit on Christmas Day. But are we ready? John's message was all about getting ready, being prepared. And this is also one of the traditional themes of Advent. But preparation for what? Well, certainly preparation for Christmas, and to wonder once more at the extent of God's love for us, fierce, unlimited, unchanging love, wrapped in the humility of swaddling clothes, God's coming to earth to live among us as one of us. Keeping a good Advent will prepare us to enjoy Christmas more deeply, just as keeping a good Lent enables us to experience the joys of Easter more fully. But we are preparing for something else also, Christ's second coming, in his glorious majesty, when he shall come to judge the earth and finally do away with all evil. This event is a standard part of Christian doctrine. We confess our belief in it every Sunday when we recite the Nicene Creed, but it doesn't get featured very much these days. Perhaps we find it a little strange, or perhaps we don't like the sound of judgment very much. If so, we need to listen to the words of Jesus the prophet. He foretold his death, resurrection and ascension. He foretold the destruction of the temple. As a prophet, he has a 100% record of accuracy. And he also told us that he would come again in glory at the end of time. Perhaps we should listen to him about that and make ready to greet him. How do we get ready? St. Luke applied the words of Isaiah to John the Baptist, a voice of one calling in the desert, make straight paths for him. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth. This language comes from the custom of the time. When a king was about to visit his territory, he would send out a messenger and the people would make ready by preparing the roads and generally tidying the place up. Well, for us, the King of Kings is coming to visit his kingdom, and we need to make ready. Our hearts and lives are part of that kingdom that he will be visiting when he comes again. Perhaps they need a bit of straightening or tidying up. Advent is a good time to look at these matters. When our Lord comes, we are to be found watching and waiting, active in his service. For Christians are all called to be messengers. Like John, we are to be Christ's heralds and ambassadors, telling others about him, sharing the gospel with them, so that they also may start to prepare for his coming. If the reference to judgment worries us, we should note that the Bible writers all tell us that this is a time we should be looking forward to. It is a time when illness and evil and even death itself shall be done away with. We should lift up our heads, for our redemption is drawing near. John uses the imagery of fire and the winnowing of grain, and the reading last week from the prophet Malachi referred to judgment as a fire of refining and cleansing, a time for us to be purified and freed to be the people that God always meant us to be. That surely is a desirable thing, something to anticipate with joy. Nothing good or loving or generous or true about our lives will be lost. Anything else is a hindrance and needs to be lost. Living in a desert, wearing a coat of camel's hair and eating locusts probably doesn't equip you with all the social graces. But in addressing his Jewish visitors as a brood of vipers, John was, however bluntly, making the point that they were all sinners who needed to repent. For many Jewish people of the time assumed that because they were the chosen people, those descendants of Abraham, then they were automatically accepted as they were. John tells them that is irrelevant. What matters is that they accept their need of repentance and try to lead lives that show the fruit of that repentance. This is a call addressed to us also as the religious people of our day. John baptized with water as a sign of repentance, but told the crowd that one would follow him who would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We were baptized into the death and new life of that one who followed, baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Our baptism was also a baptism of repentance. As we await the coming of the Son in glory, let us hear John's words addressed to us and prepare for Christ's coming again by seeking to produce fruit in keeping with our repentance. In the conversation that John has with members of the crowd, he tells them and us what that fruit might look like. The person with two coats is to share with someone who has none, and one who has food should do the same. The tax collectors are not to falsely charge extra. The soldiers are not to use violence to extort money, but to be content with their pay. Repentance is about turning to God. It is about becoming like God. Our relationship with our wealth can often be a stumbling block to this process, something Jesus also often taught about. In those short responses to his questioners, John teaches us a lot about social justice, caring for and sharing with the poor, the dangers of greed, and the joy of learning to be content with what we have. Plenty of preparation work for us there then this Advent. Well, plenty for me at any rate. But John also preaches to us by example, by what he is. He has spent years of probation dedicated to preparing for his work as Christ's messenger. Yet he can say, I am not worthy to untie the thongs of his sandals. I am not worthy. We should repeat those words, shan't we? Let's mean them. As someone whose life has been rather less dedicated to following Christ, I can learn the example of humility from John as part of my fruit, my preparing to meet the Lord when he comes again. It's good that we spend Advent preparing for both Christmas and Christ's coming again. For as we come to Christmas and come face to face with the extent of God's love for us in the crib, it should challenge us to think about the extent of our love for him, and how we may prepare our hearts to be a better throne for our King, how he may find us watching and waiting and working for the coming of his kingdom.